Welcome to another episode of the Rayados 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Rosso, and joining me as always is Patrick Meehan. Pat, since Rayados are going to be playing Atlas both on the men's and women's side, Rayados have a Liguilla matchup with Atlas Femenil. I thought that maybe we should bring in someone from that covers Atlas in general, from the Paradero Boys. If I'm not mistaken, it's Ramon Flores. Ramon,
it's actually David.
David. Okay. So David, thank you for joining us. I know it's a little late, but let's start off with the men's side, and then we'll transition to the women's side. So Atlas, I know they were dealt a blow, at least the Liguilla chances when they lost to Atlético San Luis. So kind of just tell us how the season's been. Has it been what you expected? Has it been a surprise? Has it been a disappointment?
At first, we didn't think that the change with the new administration, the Orlegi, when they bought Atlas, we didn't think that at the first season we're gonna like play so much better. Azteca left a bunch of debts and big contracts that they needed to get rid of. So at first, I thought like we didn't have a chance to make it to playoffs. Then in the middle of the season, they won a couple of games. They were like in seventh, sixth place. There, I thought they were gonna make it, but they left like big points against weaker teams, and that make that difference. I think against Chivas was the game against Chivas was like they started like losing their quality of game, and from there was like downfall.
I think I remember seeing your tweets that once they lost to San Luis, if I'm not mistaken, you thought that it was classic Atlas. They got your hopes up, and then they broke your heart. So what are you expecting? I know there's still a chance for them to make it. They obviously have to have a lot of help. First, they got to beat Monterrey, and then they got to pray. And I don't know what religion or what people use to just try to ask for some extra help, but they're going to need a lot of help. Do you think that, is there any chance in your heart or in anything you believe in? Do you think that they'll get the help and obviously beat Monterrey next weekend?
No, I don't think that they're gonna like if they beat Monterrey, they have to beat them like four or five goals.
Yeah.
Because of the goal difference, so
yeah,
it's almost impossible. I don't see them making it to playoffs, but we're like in the middle, because if we beat Monterrey, we help Chivas reach the playoffs. But I mean, I don't know. They're professionals. They're gonna play to win. So, I don't see them making it to playoffs. No chance.
Pat, you want to jump in?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for coming in the podcast. It's obvious. Eddie, is it our first Atlas guest, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's always cool to get the perspective from another team. I love doing it. We've done it with Puebla. Well, we've done it with almost every team. And obviously we follow everybody that's, you know, that we compete with in Liga MX. But obviously you guys follow it day in, day out. Was there any point during the season where you thought, okay, we can actually make it? Because I don't know, for me, looking from afar, I feel like there was a point on the season where Atlas were looking good.
Yeah, they were like in fifth place, almost right in the middle of the season. Definitely. When they tied against Tigres, which shouldn't have been a win, then 1-3-0 against America. In that point, I was like, this team can make it to playoffs. This team can compete against anyone on the league. But then they lost against Chivas, then lost against Toluca. They tied against León. That was a surprise. Won against Querétaro. But like they beat Puebla in the thinking it was the week 14. And then they lost against Necaxa, and then they lost against Pumas 5-1. That was like the last nail in the coffin, I think. Against San Luis, they needed to win, but they also needed to some other results, which ironically those results came in. So
we're talking about that because Monterrey, when they drew with Veracruz, they needed a whole lot of help, like the results to happen, and then they happened, and now Monterrey is just like in the position where all they have to do is beat Atlas and they're in. But I wanted to ask, what do you think went wrong? Was it I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not too familiar with Atlas. Were some of the players just playing way better than they're used to? Was it the coaching? What do you think went wrong for them?
Like they don't have players that can make plays. They brought Correa from Santos. They needed a striker. Correa this season is like a ghost. He does nothing. Then we have Barcelona, which like he's very good, but he's like very small, so he doesn't hit headers. He doesn't win headers. Then the young ones they started playing well, then they fade out, like the hype fade out of the. It was like two three players under 20 that they were playing really well, then I don't know what happened. Their luck ran out. I think that they need players. They need attackers.
I know they have new ownership. Do you think that they'll invest into this club? Like, do you see them putting out any, like, not a lot of money, but like at least some dollars where they can at least bring in quality players?
Yes, I think so. As I said earlier, that Azteca, when they sold the team on Orlegi, they have like a bunch of debts and a bunch of big contracts that they were paying like too much of a player that is not that good. So they need to clear out those contracts to be able to like spend on new players. But yeah, actually, I don't. Santos, which is the other team Orlegi owns, like they don't spend that much. They know how to bring players. They know how to invest on some guys, and they don't spend that much. And they make like very intelligent decisions.
Yeah,
and that's why they're so good. But they don't spend that like that much.
Pat, anything you want to ask?
Yeah, regarding that with Santos, would you like with Atlas to have something like that where you sign some random player from South America? He performs really well for you for a couple of seasons and then he's off, but, you know, always being able to restructure it. Would you like to have something like that, or would you like to have something more stable or maybe more youngsters that could be there for years? I don't know. What's your ideal plan? Or if you had to decide, what's your ideal way of going about with Atlas for the coming years?
I mean, I think is they have to do like both, like give the chance to the youngsters. But I mean, some of the youngsters there, like they're like in their third season and they haven't done anything. So they already had their chance. But yeah, I think that if like Santos is so they are winning too much, and that strategy, I think they can make it work in Atlas. But I hope they have, I hope they we can get results soon, because the fans are desperate.
And how were the fans like? Just give us a I guess the temperature in the city when the new owners were taking over. Like, how did people welcome that? Were they upset at the past ownership? What was everybody's reaction there?
I mean, yeah, when Azteca bought Atlas, like, some years ago, they promised, like, we're going to make a competitive team. We're going to be on the top of the leaderboard, blah, 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 blah. And years passed, and that never came. So people, like, was really hating on Azteca. And when Legi came in, like, people received it well. The president of the club, like, he's you can see he's a fan. He really loves the team. He's on every game of the men's and the women's. He's every game is like there. So I think they really want to make Atlas a competitive team. But it's a process. It's gonna take some time.
And what are your expectations heading into the Clausura? Is there any hope that maybe they can carry? I know they're not going to make the Legia, but is there any sense that maybe they can carry that momentum that they had at some point in the middle of the season and maybe try to carry that over to the Clausura? Or what do you think is going to happen to them for next season?
I think the main objective is making to playoffs. Like, there's no excuse. They have to make it. Like, the league is so weak. Like, you can just play well 1/3 of the season and you can, like, enter the playoffs. It's that ridiculous and weak, the league. So if you are not making it to playoffs, you really suck. Like, you have to really suck not to make it to playoffs. So I think they need to focus on that, and like the league, it's a different tournament. Like, anything can happen there, but they have to make points.
Pat, you want to jump in?
Yeah, to kind of recap this whole season in 2 points, your highest and lowest point for Atlas, where would they be? Like, the moment you thought they were at their best and the moment you thought they were at their worst?
I think the worst when they got beat up 5-1 against Pumas. And when they looked the best, I think when they beat up America 3-0 in the week 8 of the season.
And just focusing on next season, what are some areas that you think that they need to address to be better, and what are some players that the whole fans are just like, no, we need to get rid of them, or they need to be gone by next year?
We have three center backs. The only good one is Nervo. The other ones is Segura and Santa Maria. They need to go. Like, they suck. We need one good center back, and maybe bring a third center back from the under 20 guys. They need a new striker. They need two wingers, and maybe that's it.
Which one do you really realistically think that they'll be able to fix? Because I know January, it's you know, it's not the summer where you have a little bit more time. January is you got to do your business really quickly. So for you, like, which position that they need to, like, that's the one position they really need to address? I know you listed a couple, but just if you had one position where they really needed to address, which one would it be?
In the defense, in the center back. I mean, we lost games because of defensive errors by Segura and Santa Maria against Necaxa. I mean, we had, like, Segura, who's like, he like he's like enormous, and they still won headers when he's defending. So center back is the main problem right now.
Yeah. And how long will the supporters be patient with the new ownership, or do you guys expect results right away? If you had to guess, how many years would you, or how many months or so? Because, you know, Liga MX coaches get fired in 1 month or whatever. It's quick. It's reactionary. Like, if you had to just speak for all the fans, they're like, how long would they be patient with the new owners?
I mean, I think the Atlas fans are the most patient out of all the Liga MX. So, like, people, there's some fans that like hating on the team. Like, if they don't see result right away, they get mad. But we are like a little bit more passive. Next season reach playoffs, and maybe in two more seasons we can think about getting into semifinals. I think so, but yeah, I mean, it's gonna take like two, three seasons to be fighting against the top dogs out there.
Do you guys like look at like Querétaro and León, like teams with not a whole lot of money, and see them like at the top of the table, or were there moments where they're at the top of the table, and do you guys think that, you know what, we can copy that, we can emulate that once, you know, the new owners have a couple of more months just to try and see what's wrong with the team?
Yeah, I think that is the only way. Orlegi is not going to like panic by players only to from one season to another reach the finals or something. It's a process, but I think they can make it. I mean, they, as I said before with Santos, they're very intelligent when it comes to choosing players. So I'm trusting them to make the right decisions.
Pat, if you want to ask anything before we transition to the women's.
Yeah, how are the fans happy with Leonardo Cufré? Do you want to switch in coaching? How is that situation?
I think Cufré had like they have been very patient with him. Like he was when the Azteca owns, and then Orlegi came in, and they gave them the chance to continue the project. But like, right now, I don't see him like coming back for the next season. I think they're gonna look for another guy.
Do you have someone in mind, like, or a couple of names that maybe you'd like for them to consider?
I mean, the fans want Ricardo La Volpe, but
ooh,
but I don't know. Like, he's, I think he's like he brings all the bad luck with him. So right now that is the only name that pops up.
Do you think it's just because La Volpe just feels like one of those guys that the game's passed him by? And I know Pat has he said it in the podcast where we were talking with someone that was a Toluca fan, and just seeing everything that was wrong with them, it just feels that he shouldn't be coaching anymore. I don't know, Pat can probably talk a little bit about this when he asks you a question, but do you think that they need to get away from like these coaches that have been recycled, or do you have no problem with getting someone like La Volpe?
I mean, the last time La Volpe was Atlas coach, they were with some older administration that, like, they were like literally the devil. Like, they were steal money from the club and all the stuff. But I mean, Atlas fans keep remembering that 1999 season, that team with La Volpe, and if they bring him back, like, fans are gonna be so happy. But I mean, he's been in a lot of teams, and right now the only thing that he's still around is that he wants to win a championship, which he haven't done so. So
yeah, Pat, I know you had some words on La Volpe. Is there anything you want to follow up with that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the fans are still kind of not excited, but like still thinking of that 1999 season, which is 20 years ago. So like 40 tournaments ago, that time has super passed. That, you know, I mean, I know they were a great team. I don't know. I feel like if La Volpe, I understand that sentimental side. And if La Volpe comes back to Atlas, you know, he can definitely help out with the youngsters like he's shown in the past. But, you know, I don't know. In my opinion, he's past coaching. Like, he's recycled, like Eddie said. But if you had to think of some coach, who would you like to come in apart from La Volpe? Maybe another option, kind of like the Santos way, where they go and find some weird coach in South America, like they do with their players.
I think that's gonna, because I don't have like a name right now. They most likely like bring someone like I've never heard about.
Yeah.
And I hope he's good, but right now I don't have a name.
Yeah. Is there a certain style that you want Atlas to play? I'm not sure what type of style they play right now, but is it something that you're happy with, or is it something that, or is there another style that you want to see this club play?
This season they had like three different styles. They tried like one big striker and two wings, so they can make crosses. They changed to 4-4-2, and then they changed back to one striker and two wingers. So right now I really don't care. I mean, I don't care if they play ugly. Like right now they need to win anything. Like
I want to ask, cuz I know it's been so long that Atlas has won anything. Like how does the whole fan base just like deal with that? Do you run into like older fans that maybe remember that the last time they won, or how does that, like, just among different generations of fans?
I mean, they keep filling the stadium because they invest on the, like, they always make promotions of buy a ticket and you can bring your kid for free and stuff like that. So they have done very good job making sure they have kids fans, so that's the future of the fan base. But I mean, it's hard to explain. Like in my case, it's my family. My mother taught me to be an Atlas fan, and my grandmother taught my mother to be an Atlas fan, and the mother of my grandmother. Like it's a family thing. It's mostly a family thing. I don't think someone like comes, I want to be an Atlas fan. No, I think it's like a heritage thing.
So I'm going to assume that you'll tell your future kids that you're gonna have to be Atlas fans.
Well, they have to be an Atlas fan. They don't have a choice. I didn't have a choice.
Pat, is there anything else you want to ask before we move on to the women's?
Yeah, my last question in the men's side is, you know, like you said, you guys are the most patient fan base ever. And yeah, hopefully soon we can see an Atlas lifting a title, because, you know, they said that you guys gone through a lot.
I mean, I've always like told inside my family that if Atlas wins a title one day, the city is gonna burn. Mm-hmm. Like in hell. But
yeah,
I mean, that's the only thing the fans want: win.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as on the women's side, as we know, Atlas finished in eighth, and they'll be playing against Rayadas, who are the super leaders, who finished the season with 48 points. Before we get into the match, I just want to ask you, like, how is attendance wise for the women's matches, and how have you seen it grow since the league started a couple years ago?
Well, of course, there's been growth. I've seen it on my own eyes. The stands are filling up each game. Of course, Atlas, when they started the league, their team like really sucked, and then they brought like good scouts, and they built a much better team, and they started winning, and then right there, like every single game on Columbus, the stands are filled up like all the way to the top. But yeah, definitely I've seen growth, and that's awesome. I mean, it's awesome to see more and more people get interested in the women's league.
And yeah, and this season they obviously made the league, yeah. And just like from what you've seen, what's been the biggest improvement? Because I know you said that earlier, you know, when the league started, Atlas struggled. So what just on the field wise, what have you seen as the difference maker? I'm not sure if it's coaching, certain players that they're able to bring in.
No, the difference was like in back three seasons ago. No, two seasons ago, they brought in like 70 new players. Like it was a totally different team, and they from that year they have make the playoffs. Like this is the third consecutive season they made it, but I mean. That's in that season that was the big improvement. The team hasn't changed that much. They brought in two, three new players each season, but the big difference was back then.
Yeah. And what's just the fan base's expectations heading into this match? Because obviously Rayadas are like on a different level. They're one of the historic teams. Just on either side, no men's or women's squad has ever gotten 48 points, in a tournament. So I just want to ask, like, what's the expectation for the fans heading into that match tomorrow? Yeah, it's tomorrow. Yeah.
I mean, I've always say that Atlas can beat any team on the league if they go in the right mindset, because a problem they've had is like right in the end of the season they started losing games or tying games, and they come like in the eighth, seventh place. They play a top team, and then I mean last season they play against Pachuca in the playoffs, and like I saw they missed a lot of open shots, one-on-ones, clear shots, and that has been the difference, and that has been the reason why Atlas can get into the semifinals. This season, I mean, they choked the last two games, and basically just got in this situation to be playing against the best team in the league in the first round, which is not the best.
Yeah, Pat, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I was going to say that Monterrey comes looking unstoppable. Rayadas, you know, I was going to ask the same thing in the sense of, you know, do you see a possibility where not only, you know, you can advance to the next stage, but Atlas Femenil being one of the candidates to win it all?
I mean, Atlas probably right now is going to be the most challenging eighth place you're going to face ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Atlas better than America, better than Toluca, better than Chivas. I only see like Monterrey, Tigres, Pachuca being better than Atlas, but the rest of the teams I see Atlas being better than them. So I think the eighth place is it's a weird, Atlas is a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one team that they can upset this playoffs, is gonna be Atlas.
Yeah.
How do you think they need to play to pull off an upset for you? Like I know you've seen them play more often than us, but how do you think that they need to play in order to get a favorable result at home, and then you know if they end up with the lead, try to protect it in that second leg on Monday? So just you know whether it be style or what have you, like how do you think they need to play?
They have been like when they play almost all the season, they have like one type of style. And one thing I don't like about this coach Samayoa is that when he plays like an important game, a big game, he changes the style. Like he changes some players that normally start. I don't know. He has done it against Chivas and they tied that game. He has done it against Monterrey, the start of the season. They lost that game. He's done it against Tigres recently, our main, the most talented striker we have, which is Gonzalez. He left her in the bench. I mean, that was like what? And like I don't know what his strategy was bringing her in the second half. I don't know. Yeah. But that hasn't worked for him. Like the only thing I ask is that he puts the team like he puts like any other regular season game. That he doesn't experiment like with nothing. Just play like you play. And let's see if you can win like that.
Yeah, it sounds like he from what you're telling us, he overthinks it. Like he thinks that maybe if I do this and this, I can get a favorable result, or what have you. But just not this season, but going into the next tournament and beyond, what do you think is the potential for this squad? What are some improvements that they need to do in order to get? Because like you said, you think they're better than you know some of the other teams that qualified for the Liguilla, except for Tigres and Monterrey and Pachuca. But what do you think that they need to, or what do you think that they need to do, or what do you think they need to address in order to get into like at least the Pachuca level where they can you know get into that number three spot?
I mean, the team is like their quality is for that they can be on the top three, but I think a new coach and from players you can't really do much. Like it's mostly recruit from colleges and all that stuff. You can't expect like they're gonna bring this. No, they can. I mean, the team is really well. They can maybe bring someone new, who hasn't been on the league to reinforce some spots in the defense, yeah. Which Atlas is weak sometimes. But I mean, you can do that much to change.
I wanted to ask just on this, have they brought in any Mexican Americans? Because I know this was the first tournament where they allowed Mexican Americans, and just how have Atlas been able to, I guess, use that new implementation to their benefit?
No, they haven't brought anyone Mexican American, unfortunately.
Oh. Oh, that's surprising. Pat, is there anything you want to do before we wrap this up?
I want to get your thoughts on Desiree Monsivais and how, if you think, you know, your defense is ready for that, because she's
she's a monster. Beast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not like 100% comfortable with the defense they have made lot of dumb mistakes, which they need to stop doing against these teams. But I mean, just try to hype the defense, tell them they can stop her. Like, she's one player. She's just one player. You can stop her. Like, I don't know. I mean, if I mean, I think Monterrey first goal is gonna be a defensive mistake. I'm like 80% sure.
we'll have to look at that.
To make you feel a little bit more confident, Monterrey fans or Rayadas fans kind of bash on Desiree for not performing in big moments. So maybe this is a big moment, you know, you can get her not performing.
Yeah, but I just want to get your, I know we didn't ask you this for the men's side, so I'll ask you for both. What's your prediction for the Atlas Monterrey match and then the Rayadas Atlas Femenil matchup over two legs?
The men's side, I think Atlas gonna lose like 1-0 or 2-0.
Yeah, that's not gonna make a lot of other fans happy, but yeah.
I'm realistic.
Yeah.
And for the women's?
And the like in the first leg, if Atlas score first, they're gonna win. Like, they can win 2-0, 2-1. But if Monterrey scores first, they can lose like 3-0, 3-1. Is that huge of a deal, the first goal?
Yeah. But who do you think is it? Do you think it's Monterrey or Atlas? Can they pull out the upset?
Atlas can pull the upset, definitely.
All right, that's the prediction right there. But
nice.
One last thing. I think it was last week. I'm not sure if you've seen the commercial for Adidas, where Atlas were in the commercial, and I just want to get your. Did anybody see that promotional video for Adidas?
The jersey, like,
yeah, where they excluded Tigres.
I mean, it was a fun thing. The jersey, like, is ugly as it's very ugly. I don't know why they chose that color. I mean, I saw Sao Paulo one that Sao Paulo has the red and black colors, and their shirt was red and black, and it was beautiful. I don't know why they couldn't do that. I mean, it was fun seeing everyone in Twitter laughing at Tigres.
Yeah, did it catch you off guard that they included Atlas? Because I know a lot of people were like, Atlas, that was just so random.
I mean, I saw the jersey, and I didn't remember that Tigres also had Adidas. Yeah. So. It was until I saw a bunch of posts like, Tigres is chiquito, Tigres is pequeño. But like, what is happening? There were two teams. There are two teams with Adidas in the league. I mean,
that wasn't
a surprise.
Pat, is there anything else you want to bring up or ask before we end the conversation?
I think we pretty much covered it all. Good insights, not only what happened this season, but for the coming season for Atlas. And I think that's pretty much it. And hope to have you back soon, to talk more on Atlas.
Yeah, thanks, David, for taking the time and joining us. Is there anything you want to plug or anything where people
Twitter,
can find you?
Your anything.
No, I think just tell the fans, hang on. Beautiful times are coming. That's the only thing I can say.
All right, David. You have a good night, and we'll hopefully have you on the show later on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
All right, Pat, before we go, I wanted to talk about this just because it came out last night. But the new Club World Cup jerseys are out. Give me your thoughts and opinions on them.
You had like an out, like pronounced like a Canadian, out.
Oops.
You can see you're a Raptors fan. Did you like the jersey? I loved it. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I wasn't sure when I saw the first like leaks, but when I saw it with the players, I was like, damn, this is nice. This is really nice.
Would you, just out of curiosity, if you're a Monterrey, would you be sleeping at night just to get the jersey? Because I know I saw some people lining up last night before they went out, or before the store opened this morning. So would you have camped out for a night right there at the team store?
I mean, probably not that much, really. Plus, I read that it was cold and everything. I mean, I would definitely had gone to the store and I would definitely try to buy it, but maybe not like camp out. That would be like too much for me.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice. I like that it's just one sponsor in the back. It's like it gives you that. It's just boom, one sponsor, and nothing else. So
nothing much. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, they're beautiful, and we're probably gonna have to wait a little bit for them to like be selling them online for us to buy them, unless but we really need to get that jersey, because they're just, it's just beautiful. Like I can't wait for them to be playing next month in them. So, mm-hmm. And I hope they keep them for like just maybe like a throwback here and there. Just because I really want them to keep those around, just because I want to make sure I get my hands on one of them.
Yeah, it's really nice. I told my family to like, you know, try and get one for me, and they were like, it's impossible. Like, I have friends that are in this store and they say it's all gone, and I have friends here, and you know, like they weren't gonna help me.
Yeah, no, they sold out like hotcakes. Like, even though they were pretty expensive, if I'm not mistaken, they were like
2,500 pesos.
Yeah, 2,500, which in the U.S. I did the exchange rate. It adds up to $134 U.S. So around that price, like, so that's, you know, if you
it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. But I mean, when you do it, like when you look at jerseys in the U.S., it's pretty much at the same price. It's around, usually all jerseys in the U.S. are between $100 to $200, depending on if you want it blank or if you want a name on it, etc. But yeah, no, they're good. And I just want to ask, like, what did you think of the promotional video?
I love it. I tweeted out like, this is the best thing digitally they have.
Because you, I seen the new picture of yours. You actually photoshopped into one of them.
That was Nico Sanchez's face, and I saw a couple of people doing it. Even Rompas did it.
Yeah, I seen his this afternoon when I was at work. I seen it change it to that, but.
So I did that, but because that video really, I mean, it was enjoyable. Like, Rayals on Twitter and social media, they're pretty safe with everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like with this one, they try to, you know, be at the same level as the jersey, you know, to put it away. And they did that. It was great content.
Yeah, no, it was unique for them to do something like that. It was, like you said, usually they play it safe. They don't do anything out of the ordinary. But for this one, they went, you know, they took a different route in having that. But yeah, I mean, we'll see them next month in those jerseys. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to figure out, is there anything else to add? But I don't think so. Just one last thing. I hope Vincent Janssen is feeling warm, just because that last picture from yesterday was, I mean, considering he's Dutch and he's played like at cold places, it was a little random to see him be, maybe he wasn't expecting the cold weather.
Or he was just making fun of us, or the people in Monterrey.
Yeah, because like I'm used to this. You know, I grew up in the Netherlands. I played in England, so it gets cold, if not colder, in those parts of Europe. But just hopefully everybody can get their hands on that jersey, just because it's beautiful. And Pat, is there anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, I put out a tweet while we were recording this, and there was a couple of questions. You know, just telling people like, hey, if you have any questions, it's now. And first of all, well, there's two questions. This is from David Jr., David Flores. He says, Rompas was number 1,000 in the line. I was number 2. Why did he get a jersey and not me? I don't know. Maybe he knows somebody.
Yeah, maybe. Go ahead,
then
Pat.
He's like, you guys think Monterrey can beat Atlas? I ask because in the home games with Turco, you know, we've seen that difference with the away games.
Yeah, that's true. They've been way better on the road than at home. I don't have an explanation why. Maybe it's the pressure, just because they can feel the, you know, when you're playing at home, you can feel the tension. And especially when it's a must, you know, the Veracruz was a must-win game. That luckily they lucked out, and the draw didn't affect them too much, as you know they control their own destiny now. But this is like must-win, like or go home. Like there's obviously they can draw, but you don't want to leave your destiny up to other teams screwing up. You have your own destiny in your own hands. And all you got to do is win. So pretty much win or go home. So
yeah,
hopefully they know what they have to do, because against Veracruz, they didn't come out and seem like that. So it's for me, if I had to put something on it, it's just they can feel the tension in the stadium when the fans are feeling anxious, when they see, especially if they give up the first goal. I think for me, they got to get that first goal. Like, there's no way. They got to get the first goal just to take off some pressure, and hopefully the fans can turn that tension into some positive energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to win it at the end. I think that the fans, you see some positives after the Cholos match. You know, a week off, this jersey. You know, I feel like Rayos fans are fine right now. They're doing good. They're happy. And I think by the time the game comes around, everybody will be like, you know what, it's our last must win match. We have to be there. We have to support, because if we make it to a Liguilla, it'll be another ball game. And then we have the Club World Cup. Like, people are going to start getting hyped up again, I feel. And I think we'll win.
Yeah. And I mean, it starts Monday with Rayadas, who will host Atlas. They have, by the time you hear this, you'll know the result of the match on Thursday, just because this is coming out Sunday afternoon. I was thinking about doing Monday morning like we usually do, but I don't want to. I want to give this some time to breathe, especially like the Rayadas and Atlas talk. So this will come out Sunday afternoon. So that's that. But yeah, there's going to be potentially a lot of good energy in the stadium, because like I said, Atlas and Rayadas start on Monday, and then that leads into hopefully Rayadas, you know, making easy work of Atlas, and then it leads into to the guys in Monterrey, hopefully getting that win against Atlas, and then obviously they have Santos waiting for them, because the eighth spot's the only spot up for grabs. And so hopefully, you know, everybody starts getting hyped up and happy, because we've been through a lot this season. So hopefully this jersey announcement is like the first of good news to come, or good vibes to come. But is there anything else, Pat, that I'm probably missing? I know Monterrey plays Saturday in a friendly in Houston against America. Try to have some GIF content on that, obviously. I think I'll be able to watch it. And yeah, I think that wraps it up, unless I'm missing anything.
No, I think we got it all covered. It's a bye week, so it's not much going on. I mean, we're talking about a jersey. That's how intense Monterrey fans are, where every single day, there's got to be some sort of topic.
So
it's fun.
So yeah, I'm gonna have someone else on the second part of the podcast. We're gonna preview just the Liga MX, Liguilla in general, and talk some Monterrey and the men's Liguilla side, just because it's pretty much set who's gonna face who. It's just that last eight spot to be determined, but whoever gets that is obviously taking on Santos. So,
sure, yeah.
So we'll have that. And yeah, this will be out Sunday afternoon. So when you hear this, it'll either be Sunday at somewhere on Sunday or Monday morning or whatever. But yeah, Pat, if you want to plug in anything, I know you're coming from somewhere. So if people still haven't noticed that you're doing something on the side, beside of this and your regular day job.
No, we're doing a show called El Rey del Monte y El Sobrino del Santo. It's fun. It's hilarious. It's, you know, it's a cool little show for an hour to you know, obviously we talk serious in some parts about whatever happens in Mexican soccer, but, you know, it's also very fun. People are part of the conversation. Like, they send their messages. We read them. We listen to them. We see, because they can also send videos. Yeah. It's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, I invite people to go check it out. Yeah.
I'm pretty. You plugged it in a couple of times, but yeah. I know Rompa said that you got to sound a little bit more energetic because he thinks there's something wrong with you. Can you tell him if there's anything wrong with you? Because he's a little worried about you.
No, nothing wrong. Just a lot of stuff happened. If I ever sound not happy, if that's, you know, it's because apparently that's what he thinks. You know, it's just that I'm like today I'm wasted. Like I'm tired. Just a lot of stuff going on that I'm doing and all that. Yeah.
Okay. But shout out to Robus for thinking about you and worrying about you. So we'll have him back on next week when we'll either be happy, hopefully happy with whatever happens against Atlas. So we'll probably try to get us all. I'm hoping we all three of us can come on and just do one podcast.
Cool.
So hopefully our schedules align that Sunday. So, but yeah, for Pat, I'm Eddie. We'll talk to you guys next week. Welcome to another episode of the Rayados 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Rosso. Joining me today, if you don't know her work, she does a lot of content for Foodmex Nation, and she has her own podcast. I'm talking with Amy. I don't want to butcher your name. I'm Elia Lopez, so I'm just going to call you Amy.
Yeah, that's fine.
So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? We're mostly going to be covering Liga MX Femenil and then a little bit of Liga MX, but for the most part, can you just tell us a little bit about your work?
Yeah, of course. Full disclaimer, really sorry, we're on vacation, or mini vacation, because I live in LA, but I'm in San Diego with the boys, so there might be baby noises in the background because we're in the hotel. But yeah, just like Eddie mentioned, I work for Footmex Nation. I have worked for them for about 3 years now. Purely English language content about Mexican soccer. It's been that way since I started doing this. It's what I wanted to do. And it was always about like kind of doing stuff that no other person was doing or a small group of people were doing. So it's really cool to see it grow as much as it has. And so when the women's Mexican league, you know, the Liga MX Femenil came out, It was like, hey, this is another thing that we can do that's new, that's different, and let's go for it. So Adrian and I made the Our Football podcast, and it's been really rewarding, and it's been a lot of fun.
So this past week, we had the first legs. Full disclosure, I'm probably putting this out Monday morning, which is tomorrow. So depending on when you hear this, the first opening rounds might be, some other people might know the results, but if you hear this Monday morning afternoon, there's some matches that obviously won't be played yet. So let's get into the first leg. Whichever matchup you want to start, I mean, most of them were close, even though I think Pachuca was the only one that kind of was a little bit of a blowout, being 4-1. But yeah, for the most part, even America 2-0, and then Chivas, against Chivas, and then Tigres, obviously, against Cholos 0-0, and then Rayadas and Atlas were 0-0. So heading into this this tournament, was there any? Did you have? I haven't heard your latest podcast, so I'm not sure if you already made a prediction. But did you have any predictions?
I mean, you thought that the big teams were going to show up, and I think the only one, like you said, the only one that really did that was Pachuca this first leg. I want to say that maybe it's being a little bit reserved because it is the first leg that, you know, a team like Monterrey or Tigres was kind of maybe trying to keep it really calm. But I'm still, I don't want to say slightly disappointed, because I did enjoy watching Cholos Femenil when I got to see them a couple weeks ago. I think Atlas has made a huge, you know, not turnaround, but they've had a really great performance this season. And then, of course, you get the narrative of America having the emotional aspect of wanting to win the Liguilla because of their fallen teammate, Dayana Gonzalez. But it was a weekend of, you know, surprises, I guess you can say. The, you know, Monterrey Atlas ending in 0-0, to the point that Atlas had more chances than they did. Sometimes John Robles had a few great moments here and there. Cholos and Tigres, too. Tigres, obviously, a huge, huge team. They have a powerhouse of depth. And Cholos Femenil, I've said this, kind of only relies on Rene Cuellar. And Rene had some good opportunities, too. It could have been a home factor in that. But, you know, to see these two huge powerhouses, especially Monterrey, that's just come out and dominated the entire season, literally their super leader, to not score, maybe it's the craziness of Liguilla, maybe, I don't know, something might happen. But those two do go back home, and yeah, beating them at home is just insane to think about for an away team, especially when you think of, you know, the way that Cholos has kind of made their way here for the very first time. What is that atmosphere you're going to feel like for them? And then, of course, for Chivas and America, it was a Clásico Nacional playoff for Chivas in Estadio Akron. That should have had everything to go for them. And I didn't get to catch that game live, but I looked at the highlights, and credit to America for capitalizing on those chances. But it was like the defense that you knew and you've learned to respect with Chivas kind of became non-existent in those goals. So I don't know. It's really interesting to see these first legs pan out the way they did, with the exception of, like you and I both mentioned, with Pachuca. But we'll have to see what goes on going into the second leg.
Let me just center it on Rayadas, just because that's the only Liga MX family that I follow closely, and I try to catch most of their matches. Just heading into the season, did you think that they would be this good? Just because they're arguably, they're the best team ever, whether it's the men or women's side, just because of the points total. I think they finished with 48, and that's the most for any Mexican squad ever. They kind of started off a little slow, and then as the season went along, they just found another gear.
Yeah, no, it's been insane. I mean, they've always kind of put their own, you know, they've always kind of stepped on their own toes. They've been to the Liguilla twice. I mean, they've been to the final twice, you know, since the league was started. They have always been one of the top teams. I mean, you've seen it even from a non-soccer standpoint, I guess a non-on-field performance standpoint. You know, their fans are just amazing. Them and Tigres have been the standout, you know, kind of validating points for the Liga MX community existing, and fans getting into it regardless of gender. So that's been a huge factor into them just being a really well-known team in the Liga MX. But then you couple that with the performances they've had on the field, and it's amazing. Like, did I expect them to be this good? I mean, I think all of us kind of, even from the Liga MX men's side, have permeated into thinking that Tigres is the best team, you know, or thinking that, and with, you know, with reason, Tigres has won it twice. But they were always a top team. But did I expect them to be this good? I don't know. I expected them to be good, but they've just been amazing. I mean, I said it with when Cesar and I got to go to the Xolos, you know, Monterrey game, and I got to see them live. It's insane how well they respond to each other when they finally get into the motions. Like how quickly they're able to just all work together, even the depth on the field. Because I remember that game specifically, Aileen Aviles came out, you know, and was subbed in, and she instantly clicked with the rest of her team and almost, you know, helped to get a goal for this day. And it's just those things that have made Monterrey as good as they are. I mean, and of course, you can't go without giving credit to Desiree Monteveis for all the goals that she's contributed. You know, it's just been amazing. But it's not just her. You know, you see Dinora Garza, who's such an amazing player.
She's so underrated. No, like, she doesn't get any of the love. But then when you see, like, some of the stats that the league tweets on, it's just like, damn, she doesn't get the love that some of the other players that I see on social media get. Maybe just because she doesn't have a Twitter account, she likes to keep a low profile. But yeah, I think she's on the team wise. She's really underrated.
Dinora actually has an Instagram account and she has it on private, but she accepted me after the game. But it was because I asked her a question and I tagged her in my photo, and then I was like, please accept me. So she accepted me. So she keeps a low radar. But you know, and then you got Diana Evangelista, who's also part of the top 10 goal scorers. So it's a really fantastic team. I've been saying it maybe since like 3 weeks ago or something. This is basically theirs to lose. Like, yeah, they're so good, it'd be a shame for them not to win it. They've had such an amazing run facing off against teams they've already faced, you know, that they should be able to do this. And to see them tie against Atlas, not to discredit Atlas or demean Atlas in any way, but you know, they're the top team. They need to be winning these games like Pachuca did against Toluca.
And I think when Liga, I know when I was watching them last season in the Liga, I'm not sure if it's just the pressure gets ramped up for them, but they kind of struggled a little bit. I remember against Pumas, they were losing in that opening round too, and then they found that gear and they were able to pull out a result. And I know against Pachuca in that semifinals, they struggled on the road. I think they were down like maybe 3-1. And then they were able to at least to grab, make it 3-2 and try to get a favorable result at home, which they did. But I think it's not the norm to see them struggle a little bit in the Liga, especially on the road. I think at home they're able to just find that gear that they need to get the result that they're looking for. But I just wanted to ask, losing two finals, obviously, to Tigres, and then if everything goes as planned, I think Pachuca might be the only one, maybe America, that can disrupt the third or a trilogy in the final again. But what do you think for the Atlas? Is it that they just can't seem to beat it? Even in the regular season, it just doesn't. I know when I talk to like people that support them, there's always something fishy going on with the officiating. But what do you think is it that they just can't seem to beat Tigres? I always think maybe it's just mental. It's just you lose to a team too many times, especially in the final in that fashion. It just gets to you and it weighs on you whether or not you can beat this team.
Yeah, I think we've seen it time and time again from any Clásico or any rivalry that you see where there's a certain team that's more dominant. You know, it just becomes a mental factor. It doesn't even become about your performance on the field. It just becomes, you know, that situation where as soon as that team, in this case, you know, Tigres, scores on Monterrey, they just slowly start collapsing. You know, they just start, they don't get, like you said, they don't get it into that extra gear where it's going to really, really benefit them. And that's where the shame comes in. You know, it's kind of like, I've said this narrative one too many times, but it's kind of like LAFC with LA Galaxy, right? Like, it's, you know, which one is a much more talented team, even though they have differences, different attributes that could work in their advantage. But as soon as, you know, one collapses, the other team can take full advantage of it. And you know, that's something that's just happened with Monterrey time and time again, where now that you're talking about it, you know, if it comes out that Pachuca is able to make it to the final or Monterrey is, you know, Pachuca could be the team, you know, that comes out of that victorious, because it'll go into that mental factor. It'll go into that going into play where, you know, hopefully Monterrey can finally overcome that.
Yeah, I think if I'm just speaking for myself, when we see Rayados, we want if they're gonna win their first league title, I think everybody wants it to be against Tigres. Like, no discredit to Pachuca if they make it. I think we want to get over those demons in those last two finals, just because they've been pretty heartbreaking. I know the first one was lost on penalty kicks, and then this past one in the Clausura, it was if I'm not mistaken, it was 3-2 being the final. It was a pretty close aggregate score. So, and I've had some people that are more close with the team, and it's just, yeah, it has to be Tigres. Like, if that first trophy is gonna come, it has to be against them, just because they want to overcome those demons from the past. But I think, speaking of that rivalry, that's arguably the marquee matchup. I mean, I've seen the television ratings or viewerships. They've even beaten out some MLS matches. I know this past one, it was more watched than New York City FC and Red Bull.
Rebels, yeah.
What do you think the future holds for just TV in general? Because obviously there's some clubs that don't have TV contracts that you can't watch. Obviously, you can't watch any home Monterrey matches unless, you know, you're on YouTube. Well, I mean, yeah, they're on YouTube illegally. That's how I watch them.
Shout out to all the people that send me, like, Facebook. Oh, maybe I'll burn them out. No, because I'm not talking about
that. No, I'm not burning out anybody. I'm just, I always just post the link, or I just say, check YouTube, just YouTube search for ILS and Vivo or something like that, and usually you'll get a live stream up. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's just been a couple of years, and it's still in its infancy stages, but TV-wise, and just, we're just talking about the United States-wise, what do you think needs to improve? I personally blame on the wagon of saying that the league needs to just get one sole TV contract. I don't think they should have the clubs just be on their own and have their own contracts. Obviously, you just limit the exposure for some of the clubs. I mean, like I said, you can't even see the best team in the league at home just because of, you know, TV contracts, etc. So for you, just personally, in a perfect world, how would you like to see the league expand on a television wide in the US?
I mean, it goes back to this idea that we just have of why they're not capitalizing on, you know, broadcasting these things, whoever it is at this point in this. Okay, hold on, guys. Almost done. You know, in this world where we have so many avenues of how to stream or broadcast or whatever, to me, it's not even about, you know, teams not choosing or just having, like, a sole broadcast. It's just broadcasting it in general, right? Like, there's a ton of viewership that wants to watch these games. Even people that are just curious about it, you know, sometimes we'll tell people, like, make sure you catch this game. And Adriana and I don't know who's going to be showing it. And then, yeah, that's where those illegal streams come in, that we have to watch it, that you look at the numbers on those streams, and it's a pretty good chunk of people, mm-hmm. you know? So I think right now the immediate approach, I don't have an idealistic approach. I just want them to broadcast it. But my approach right now would be, like, just do what Tigres is doing and stream it on your social mm-hmm. media. Like, just that way you get the people that want to watch it watching it whenever it's accessible, because it's such a shame that, you know, we can't watch these games, or that, I don't know, media outlets or anybody is not realizing that people want to consume this, people want to consume these games, people want to be able to watch these games. You know, I think it was for the Monterrey match, you know, this Leguia game, I think it was actually their social media person that was like, hey, by the way, you can watch it here. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was an illegal YouTube stream, but it was definitely a YouTube stream. And I was just like, you know, it's crazy that we have to do that.
Yeah, and normally they don't do that. That was kind of, that caught me off guard. I mean, I can only watch parts of it because I was at work, but that, no, you know, normally they have their matches on. Well, I guess because it was a road match, but still, I mean, last tournament, the Clausura final, I mean, they couldn't, there is no place you can watch it on TV, you know, the second leg. So it was like, they have, this is their final, this is their marquee matchup, and you can't even see the second leg on TV. I was really hoping maybe for Fox Deportes to like step up their game and say, hey, you know what? Well, I mean, it's already being shown in Fox in Mexico, so I think, you know, they can. Obviously, I don't know the ins and outs of like TV contracts and all that stuff, and if they can just grab that their stream and put it on Fox Deportes. But I was really hoping that they'd just step up and say, hey, we're going to broadcast the second leg of the final, just because it's a shame that, you know, the second leg isn't on TV.
Yeah, it's just insane for any games. You know, I think there was one. I think it was, I forgot. It was like a classical game. I don't know if it was Chivas or America, or it was one of those like, hey, everybody catch this game. It's going to be really good. And then we couldn't watch it. But I mean, I can't even specify it because it happens so much, right? It's just like, hey, this is going to be a really good game. Oh, but we can't watch it, or we don't know how to find it. You know, because you have to illegally stream it. Like, you can't even enjoy it on your TV. And then it's frustrating to think about that, because like we were just talking about, Liga MX Femenina is literally beating out MLS games, you know, and maybe on a bad day, not to demean these teams, but I don't know, like a really low table rated Liga MX men's side could get outshone by a Liga MX Femenina game if they actually try to do it on the weekends like they are. You might just see that. And if you saw that, that's not necessarily a pull at the men's league, but you would see just how many more people want to watch it when they are actually able to at a reasonable time. I'd be fascinated to be able to see if that would actually happen.
Yeah, and I think the Twitter account for the Feminine League, they tweeted out that, you know, they had record number of attendance this year. They've vastly grown each year that it's been in existence. And yeah, I think it's just time to start thinking television-wise. I don't think this team, or I don't think teams should be, they're not at that point where they can just have their own TV contracts. I'm like I said, I'm vastly on the wagon that the league needs to just have one TV partner and then go from there. I mean, they have their own sponsor, or their main sponsor, obviously, and then that I think that next step is just having a TV contract for a TV network, whether it's Studene, Fox, or whatever, just to have their game shown and not wonder where people can find them. Because if Studene is not showing it, especially here in the US, then you're gonna have to like look for an illegal stream. I think that's the next process in their growth. But just one last thing, just not doing with Liga stuff and everything. Like, how did you see some of the Mexican and Americans, you know, since this was the first year that they could be in the league, how did you see some of them grow, the ones that you followed closely?
I think it's long overdue. We actually got to interview, oh, we're having issues over here. We actually got to interview, hold on, guys, stop. No fighting. Please stop. We actually got to interview Renee Cuellar for the Hour Football Pod. Adriana and I did, and she's number four in the list of leading goal scorers. But aside from the goal scoring aspect, I think that they've completely shown what the league was missing, not having them in here. Jennifer Munoz actually just scored. She scored the second goal for America, I believe, during this past game. Yaneli Farias is obviously amazing at Chivas. And there's so many other, I don't want to say like smaller, but, you know, there's so many other players that have just contributed to their teams. And it's those things that just, Renee actually touched on it, kind of what we're talking about this, you know, promotion of the Liga MX Femenil, where there's not enough of it. It feels like there's not enough of it. It actually feels like it's just hearsay from all of us, like whether it's you know, covering the Rayadas Femenil, Adriana and I, or tons of other people that, you know, cover the league and with our hashtag, that people actually know when these games are being played. And it's like that there needs to be, more needs to be done. And I think with that Mexican-American aspect, that's where you get people here in the U.S. That's where you get Hey, by the way, these people, they look like you. I mean, personally, from a men's team standpoint, Efrain Alvarez playing so well for the U-17s. Like, that's cool for someone like me, right? Because this is a kid from L.A. that's making a name for himself with the Mexican national team. And there's with the younger, obviously, the U-17s.
Yeah.
And now you're going to see you should get that for your women's side, especially because they're actually paying professional. They're actually very good. And it's not just pandering. You know, it's like, no, yeah. Here's someone that's like you, that's doing stuff that looks like you, that feels like you, because Renee Cuellar has been very vocal about how she feels about a Mexican-American, that you can make that connection instantaneously. And then those consumers are or that audience is going to want to pay attention.
Yeah, just speak on the Rayada side. I know they have three Mexican Americans. They have Ania Mejia. They have Jasmine Aguas. I think she's from San Diego. I think it's Jasmine Aguas, and then Tanya Samaruch. I'm butchering her last name, but it's those are the three Mexican Americans on the Rayadas. And so far, Ania Mejia, she's the one getting a lot of the start time. Jasmine Aguas gets some here and there. She's mostly coming off the bench, but she's shown she's more than capable of playing with this team, considering the amount of talent. And then Tanya, she came in late to the season, but she's getting some time. I think they're doing the slow process of integrating them into the squad. But I mean, I think that will wrap that up. I know I got you for 7 more minutes, and I just want to talk about the men's side. I know the league resumes next weekend, and to be honest, there's only one playoff spot or Liguilla spot up for grabs, and that's that number 8. And for the most part, Monterrey controls their destiny. If they win, they're in. If they lose to Atlas or draw, that opens the door for, I think, 3 or 4 other clubs. Just in your opinion, what do you think is going to happen for that 8th spot?
I have absolutely no idea. the chaotic person in me wants Chivas to go through, but like so many things have to go right for them to be able to get through. I don't even really like Chivas either. Let's just leave it with Monterrey. Let's just leave the standings how they are. Because I don't know. There's so many narratives that go into play that I don't know for Monterrey to kind of redeem themselves now that, you know, Mohamed's there. Like, why not? I don't know. But then, like, Cholos also possibly, maybe it's... this is where it gets all funky. At least it'll be exciting for the last week. So
yeah.
I'm going to say Monterrey. Just because we're on the Rayados podcast.
That helped me feel confident, but it's just because when Monterrey drew at Veracruz a couple of weeks ago, I thought that was it, they're done. And then everything that could go right for them in order to control the destiny again did go right. There was teams that drew, there was teams that lost. It's just, I don't know how Monterrey ended up being in control of their destiny again. So I'm just, the cynic fan in me is just like, okay, please don't play with my heart. And then it's they end up losing to an Atlas team that they should beat. I mean, Monterrey, like this past match against Cholos was arguably their best match of the season that I've seen. They've been inconsistent. And then yesterday against, granted it was a friendly, but you just want to keep that mojo going. And they did. And they beat America 2-1 in Houston. And it's just, I kind of want to believe that they won't let this next opportunity. I'm hoping that Mohamed will say, hey, you know, we blew it once against Veracruz where we pretty much could just, you know, it was up there for us to take, and they didn't. And Atlas being the inferior opponent and being at home too, they should win. But just because the season I've gone through with them, this whole Apertura, I don't like to count my chickens before they hatch. But just in general, let's just for my own ego, let's just say Monterrey goes in. Just looking at the Liguilla as a whole. Who do you think is the favorite, or who do you have as a favorite?
This is a hard question because I've said it so many times. Like, I'm just a no. Okay, well, right now, I'm in the top 3. But it's like, you look at it, and you're like, is Santos really like obvious? Like they're a super leader, but do you see them winning it? For general fans, or I'm sure Santos fans would love it, but like, doesn't it leave a bad taste in your mouth knowing that like they're technically the favorite because they're in first place? Like, I don't know. And then you see Necaxa too, and you're like, I don't know. Like, if I had go ahead.
No, I was gonna say a lot of teams that kind of surprised this. I mean, you had Querétaro for a good run. They were in first place. And then they obviously came back to earth a little bit, but still they're gonna make the league. Yeah, Santos overtook them, and I think Santos is having that season where, you know, they might have a tournament or two off, and then all of a sudden they're number one in the entire league. And then you had Necaxa, for the most part they punched above their weight class, and then you all have the usual suspects in America and Tigres. León's obviously doing their thing. So it's just a lot of teams that kind of surprise you just being in there.
Yeah, and then, like, so I'm not satisfied at all on either end, because then I'll be like, I don't really want Santos and Necaxa to win, even though they're the top two teams. But then I also am so sick and tired of everybody going, Tigres is going to win it. Tigres is going to win it. You can't count out Tigres. Like, everybody just stop saying Tigres. So I don't know. I have no idea who the favorite is. My heart wants it to be America, but I mean, who knows? They're going to have a break because they have a bye week. So, you know, that might work in their favor. I know some people are saying that because of all the injuries that they've had, which is totally valid. Then you kind of have León, who's, you know, obviously a good team. They're not necessarily underrated, but you know, you don't really automatically talk about them when you start looking at this. But I have no idea. I'd rather not have Santos win it. So let's just let them have a feel good story and give it to Necaxa. Like, if you're gonna have, like, who's gonna take it because they're in the top two, like, have Necaxa do it. But I also wouldn't be surprised if América goes far. I guess Tigres could possibly win it too, but I'm just going to go with Necaxa. Let's go with Necaxa.
My last question, just to wrap this up, what's your overall opinion, either just yourself or just following other mainstream writers, journalists, reporters, etc.? What's your just thoughts on Vincent Janssen, just because we love him so much?
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. It was a cool approach to like acquiring him. I think that there's something interesting when that happens. But in terms of like a really solid opinion, I don't have like a super solid opinion. Why did you ask me that though?
Just because we wanted I think he's slowly becoming what we were expecting. I think it took him a while to find his footing in the league. Obviously, you're coming to a different country, different culture, different language, and he's made strides. Obviously, his last three starts, he's been outstanding. Granted, it was Copa MX, and this was a friendly against America, but he's kind of, if you listen to Mohamed in some of the interviews or the post game scrums, he's just saying that he's pretty much asking him just by his play, not literally, to start, and then he's putting up the fire against or he's putting the feet to the fire for Funes Mori, and then Funes Mori goes out and scores two goals against Cholos, and it's just that it's rare to see someone that's not connected to Mexico in some sort, whether it be either through South America or the U.S. To come to the league, and we've only seen it a few times, and I just want this to succeed, just because I would like to see it happen more often than not, and I don't know if you feel that same way, where you want to see, I don't want them to be unicorns, but I just want maybe here and there we'll see some not a strange signing like this, but you know, it won't just be like. I just don't want them to feel like they're unicorn signings, if you get what I'm trying to say.
No, yeah, of course. I think that goes into a much larger discussion of, you know, because there's issues with like the minutes that younger players get because of the rules and regulations. And it's like, how many, you know, extra hitters do we bring into the league? I don't know if that's what you mean by like unicorn signings, but it'd be cool, right? It'd be cool. Yeah. It'd be cool to have these players that don't maybe have a connection to it, get into the league, see what the hype is about, and really love it. I mean, Jinak is a perfect example of that, right? He came in here. He is basically Mexican at this point. He's so fond of it. That it's cool. Yeah, I think that more of this would benefit the league in a sense. I think that there's really great positives that come out of it. And it's for a player to become such a valuable asset to the team like Janssen has, I think is always great.
So Amy, I'm going to let you go be mom. I'm sorry for interrupting your vacation.
not at all.
Is there anything you want to plug in before we go?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, I was here to talk about the Liga MX, which is so great. I'm so glad that so many other people are interested in it.
Can I have a coffee?
No, you don't drink coffee, sir.
No, grandma likes coffee.
Oh, she likes coffee?
Yeah, can I put coffee?
Can I finish this podcast and then we can work on the coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Go away.
Can I put some
coffee? Okay, yes, wait. No, I mean, I'm enjoying the fact that more people are interested and invested in the Liga MX Femenil, so... if you guys can, we always have a show on Fridays. We just did it this week because Rene Cuellar was our guest before the Liguilla started, but the Hour Football podcast with Adriana and I. And then, of course, all the cool stuff that I get to do with Footmex Nation because it's English language, and I'm loving how big the community is growing when it comes to El Trieng, Liga MX, ENG, and all that cool stuff. So just keep following it, guys.
Thank you, Amy. For everybody that's listening, thank you for listening, and we'll chat next week.
Bye.